This Pro-Liberty podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. That's M-A-G-A, like Make America Great Again. Thank you for your support. Allow me to explain why, if Hillary Clinton doesn't go to jail, we lose America. That's the subject of this podcast you're listening to, the Health Ranger Report with Mike Adams here, healthrangerreport.com, and my new upcoming video blog website, counterthink.com. Check it out for new episodes that are shot on video. So what do I mean? If Hillary Clinton doesn't go to jail, we lose our country. Well, you got to step back and think for a moment about how is the rule of law actually, how does it exist in society? How does it persist? What is it exactly? What is a rule of law? Because we're told that we live in a country where rules apply equally to all men and women, powerful or non-powerful. That's part of the promise of the American Republic, is this idea that there aren't royalty, not kings and queens, who are immune to laws or who write their own law, because our ancestors lived under that kind of tyranny. It was called the King of England and the Queen of England, and that's, you know, royalty is not a just system. A just system means that every person is subjected to the same laws, the same rules of discovery of evidence, the same due process, the same rights in a court system, treated the same by the enforcers of justice and enforcers of law. And yet, what do we see when we look around society today? We see Hillary Clinton, James Comey, Loretta Lynch, and others openly committing extraordinary, serious crimes, and even admitting to it in some cases publicly, like James Comey admits to leaking, Hillary Clinton admits to destroying 30,000 emails and destroying evidence and obstructing justice and so on. You've got all these crimes that are admitted to by these people, and yet, so far, they have not been prosecuted. They have not even been indicted. They apparently are not subject to the same laws that apply to you and me, because there are many other people already in prison who have done a lot less than what those two have admitted to carrying out in terms of breaking laws. It's extraordinary. So what happens when this situation emerges in society is that the fabric of the rule of law, which is based on a system of faith and trust, it's a shared social contract, if you think about it. It's a belief system where we believe in the Constitution, and what enforces that belief is simply the fact that the same belief is shared by others who make up the members of our community. And so the Constitution is not a piece of paper with some ink on it. The Constitution is a shared social construct. This is crucial to understand. The rule of law is a shared social construct, and it ceases to exist, importantly, if people stop believing in it. This is the point of this podcast. The rule of law ceases to exist if people stop believing in it. And what causes people to stop believing in it? Exactly what we're seeing right now. If they start to witness that the laws are not equally applied, some people are immune to the laws, while others are targeted for selective prosecution. In other words, the laws are bogus. The system of justice is bogus. There is not law and order in this society. What there is a system of royalty, of protection of the politically elite, combined with a system of selective punitive action and prosecution against political enemies of the state. When that happens, my friends, listen carefully, when that moment of realization is reached by a critical mass of people, the country no longer exists. And then it's only a matter of time before it falls apart in the real world, either through secession or civil war or widespread tax revolts. People might just say, screw this system. Why am I sending money to Washington, D.C., when I don't even have the same rights as the royalty who are collecting my tax dollars and spending it on each other to make themselves rich? You see what I'm saying? That's just an example. There are lots of ways that countries fall apart, but when the rule of law crumbles or erodes to the point where public faith in the system vanishes, then everything else is just a domino effect. You can't have the concept of a constitutional republic if you don't indict Hillary Clinton. And that's my point. The message is very clear. Hillary Clinton needs to be prosecuted. Now, if she's found innocent in a court of law, then that's different. But at least she should be subjected to the same level of scrutiny as anybody else. Why is she getting a free pass? Why is Obama getting a free pass for all the treason that he committed? Why is James Comey getting a free pass? He committed felony crimes. He leaked classified documents, and he openly admits to doing so. He engaged in actions of treason against the United States of America by any reasonable, rational definition. Why isn't he being prosecuted? Why isn't he in handcuffs right now? Why is Hillary Clinton walking free or stumbling down the steps free right now? The fact that she is a threat to the future of our very nation for all the reasons I just mentioned, because it rips away the very fabric of our society, the cultural social contract that says we must all follow the laws because the laws apply equally to everyone. Even worse, if you think about it, if you think about what James Comey, Loretta Lynch, Obama, Hillary Clinton, Eric Holder, what these people have done, what they are actually announcing is that you don't need to follow any laws if you are politically connected, or if you're a Democrat with high power, let's say, in the bureaucracy. You don't need to follow any laws. You can violate the law. You can operate as a mob or a cartel. You can be a mafia boss, and you'll never go to jail. Why? Because you're a high-powered Democrat. Well, what is that message to the average American person? Suppose someone is out there in America, and they've got, let's say they're short on money, and they want to earn some money, and then someone approaches them with something that is, let's say, less than legal. I don't know, some scam or some con. Maybe someone approaches them with some way to steal money from elderly patients. And in a normal context, they would be saying to themselves, no, I don't want to do that because that would violate the law. I want to be part of a civil society, so I don't want to scam people and break the law. But then they look at Barack Obama, and they look at Hillary Clinton, and they look at how the Clinton Foundation laundered $84 million, just actual criminal money laundering, among other things, selling her influence, official corruption, lots of things. They look at Hillary Clinton and they say, well, gosh, Hillary is worshipped and loved by the Democrats. She's considered a goddess in the media, and Hillary is a criminal mob boss. They might say to themselves, why should they abide by any laws when, according to example, if you run a criminal cartel and launder money and have people ordered killed, you can actually be worshipped and praised by the media and be accepted in society and get all kinds of money for speaking engagements and everything. I mean, Hillary Clinton walking free is setting exactly the wrong example for society. There may be people who see that and say to themselves, hey, why should they abide by the law? Why shouldn't they just do what Hillary Clinton did? Or, you know, all the other people I've mentioned, why shouldn't they just collude with evil and be part of a mafia system and be part of a cartel? That's my point. When lawlessness is rewarded and lawlessness is allowed to flourish in society among very high-powered people, the message that is sent from such actions is that citizens should not abide by the laws either, because to do so would be contradictory to what is being promoted in society. If you want a society where the citizens follow the law, in other words, you have to enforce the law against the political elite. If the king and queen aren't subject to laws, then why should the peons pay any attention to those same laws, you see? And just as importantly, for the taxpayers of the country, taxpayers, when they're sending their money to Washington to fund the government, if the rule of law is not applied equally, those taxpayers begin to ask themselves, hey, what am I funding? What kind of a system am I funding in Washington if that system is lawless, if that system does not apply laws equally, if that system is really a system of selective justice against political enemies? You start to ask yourself these very legitimate questions, like, wait a second, is this moral to send money to Washington if that money is being used to selectively weaponize the government against certain political enemies and not to run a system of justice? You know how people always like to say, you got to pay taxes because you got to build roads and bridges and schools, they say, even though almost 0% of your tax dollar actually goes to roads and bridges and schools, you know, compared to the other big expenditures. Most of it goes to the Pentagon, Social Security, and Medicare, okay? That and interest on the debt. That right there, those are your big expenditures. Everything else is minuscule in comparison. But the argument goes, you got to send your money to Washington, you know, to pay for roads and bridges and schools. Well, what if the realization becomes, actually, you're sending your money to Washington to fund jackbooted thugs who are running a tyranny enforcement cartel, who use weaponized systems of government oppression to imprison and ensnare innocent people while protecting their own powerful government criminals from prosecution? Would you, in that circumstance, would you be violating a moral code to send money to Washington? Because in that case, you would be funding a system of tyranny and authoritarianism and lawlessness, wouldn't you? And many people would argue that that's exactly what the system is today. Read the book Battlefield America by John W. Whitehead, if you want a good example of that. Many people would argue that it is unethical to send money to Washington right now. I'm not arguing that at this point. I'm simply illustrating this. I'm not a tax protester. I'm not one of those guys. I actually pay taxes. I'm bringing up the argument, though, to get the point across that as lawlessness spreads throughout the awareness of the culture, there will be more and more people who will likely become tax protesters, because they will say to themselves, what am I funding? Where is this money going? If this money is going to evil, it's like if you lived under Adolf Hitler, Nazi Germany, and you had to pay taxes to Berlin to fund the Hitler regime, and you knew what Hitler was doing and gassing the Jews and so on and committing genocide, would you send money to Berlin? Would you pay your taxes to the German Third Reich? Or would you be a tax protester against Adolf Hitler? See, that's the question. And that's an extreme example, obviously. We're not there yet. I'm not saying that our government today is the Third Reich. It's more like the Fourth Reich. But that's another topic. But my point is, there is a limit where people stop supporting a government that is illegitimate because that government does not equally enforce laws and justice and investigations and prosecutions and so on. And I believe we're very close to that point right now. And overall, I say that if Hillary Clinton doesn't go to jail, then the faith in the rule of law is shattered, and this country will fall apart. Hillary Clinton and others who conspired with her must be prosecuted, or we don't have America remaining. I personally will absolutely lose faith in this country if Hillary Clinton is not prosecuted before the year 2020. I'll give it some time and some patience because I know these things take time and Trump is battling the deep state and so on. But if by the end of 2020, if Hillary Clinton has not gone to prison yet, then I will have lost faith in the entire system. There's no saving it at that point. It almost becomes unethical to continue to support the system if the system is so twisted and so corrupt that it can't even put a self-admitted traitorous, treasonous criminal behind bars, someone who committed an extraordinary list of serious crimes against her own country. I mean, bribery and corruption just scratches the surface of what Hillary Clinton has done. And others like her, you know, James Comey and so on, Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, there's a long list. So this is what's at stake. Understand that the continuity of a nation depends on the continued social construct that is shared in the minds of its citizens and its enforcers, you know, its law enforcement officers, its judges, its executive branch members in the bureaucracy, legislators even as well. This social construct is fragile. The social construct has to be reinforced by applying laws equally and proving to the citizens that they do live under a system that is worth psychologically investing in. Because at some point, if the corruption is so bad and so evident that people begin to realize, hey, this system is broken, this is fatally flawed, can't be fixed, and is extremely unfair, then people will voluntarily stop participating in that system. And to a lot of people, like libertarians and anarchists and so on, that is exactly the correct conclusion. Stop participating in the system. The system is rigged. The system is corrupt. And, you know, there's a huge element of truth to all that. Why do we need a so-called representative Congress in Washington that always stabs us in the back? They don't represent the interests of the people. Why do we need a centralized government telling us how to live our lives? Anyway, what's the point of that? Why not just have states as nations? You know, the Republic of Texas, the United Soviet Socialist Republic of California, for example, the communist North Korean California regime. Jerry Brown and Kim Jong-un can just trade places, and both of those countries will run exactly the same. I'm joking, but you see my point. Why do we even have a federal government? Why do we have federal laws? Why do we have an FBI if the FBI is totally corrupt? Why do we have a Department of Justice if it won't seek justice against the obvious high-powered criminal traitors that are running around in Washington right now? Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Obama, and so on. What's the point of a federal government if it doesn't do anything that's useful to the people? This question is becoming more and more frequently asked by everyone, including myself. Like I said, I've got some patience with this process. I'm willing to watch this for a couple of years under Trump and see what happens. But I fear, I am afraid, that the way this ends is in collapse. I think the rule of law is fatally broken in America. I think the government is broken and hopelessly corrupt. I think the deep state is out of control. And I think that citizens' rights are going to be exterminated if they are not reasserted by the citizenry. So this is the point in history in which we find ourselves. It's a point that many other populations have experienced in their own histories, and some of them have ended badly, some, you know, in tyranny and communism, and some of them have ended on a positive note, such as the founding of our country. But how will this scenario end? I don't know the answer to that. You have to tune in as we chart the progress, either constructively or in a collapse scenario. Whatever happens, we'll cover it. But I don't have a good feeling about this one. We'll see where it goes. I thank you for listening, though. I know this has been a little on the long side, but I appreciate your support of everything we do. Support our online store at healthrangerstore.com. Check out my new video podcast website, counterthink.com. And you can hear more audio-only podcasts at healthrangerreport.com. Take care.
Learn more at healthrangerreport.com.
I know you have a lot of choices of where to get your superfoods and supplements, personal care products, and so on. To find all these solutions and more, just go to healthrangerstore.com/MAGA, M-A-G-A. HealthRangerStore.com/MAGA, as in Make America Great Again. You'll find hundreds of solutions there that can enhance and help protect your health. Again, that's HealthRangerStore.com/MAGA. At the Health Rangers Store, we are a pro-liberty, pro-life, pro-freedom, pro-America manufacture, and direct distributor. We sell direct to customers, offering extraordinary values on these products. Lab tested and verified, we test all of our products for bacteria, E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, heavy metals, lead, cadmium, arsenic, mercury, much more. Also glyphosate and herbicide and other pesticides and herbicides are being added to our testing procedure to make sure that we bring you safe, verified, clean supplements that you just don't get anywhere else. I mean, Amazon.com is a joke compared to us. The Wall Street Journal even did a story exposing the thousands of contaminated, illegal, banned, toxic supplements and products that Amazon sells. We wouldn't sell that because we have ethics, we have morality, we're honest, we have integrity as a manufacturer and a provider of these products. Check us out, healthrangerstore.com. Over 700 different products are available right now. High-end supplements, superfoods, personal care products, even fragrance-free products that are eco-friendly for your home, such as laundry detergent, body soap, dishwasher detergent, and many other products. You'll find just an incredible assortment at healthrangerstore.com. And most importantly, your purchases there help support our ongoing efforts to spread the message of liberty and freedom and pro-life, respecting life in all its forms, and having a nation and a world that operates with ethics and morality so that we might have a sustainable human civilization, not one that's collapsing in destitution and suffering, which is what the radical left and the communists want to bring about. So support us, and we support humanity. HealthRangerStore.com. I thank you for your support.